Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. During this hour, I want to present for our contemplation two scriptures that synchronize with each other. The first scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. As you take that scripture in, we come to Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now you may ask, how are these two texts related? How do they synchronize? One text said, some men's sins are open beforehand going into judgment, and with others they will follow after. And Jesus here says that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Well, I want to take you in your memory to a scripture, to a spirit of prophecy statement which I frequently quote. The spirit of prophecy that tells us what it means to have our sins opened before going into judgment. Bible Commentary, Volume 5, 108.5, Paragraph 4. Reflect upon this in the day of judgment. It says, God's law reaches the feelings and motives as well as the outward acts. It reveals the secrets of the heart, flashing light upon things before buried in darkness. God knows every thought, every purpose, every plan, every motive. The books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. By his law, he measures the character of every man. As the artist transfers to the canvas the features of the face, so the features of each individual character are transferred to the books of heaven. Young people, you who know the technology of today, God has a video of your and my character up there. That which we would have done if we had opportunity in our character. God has a perfect photograph or a perfect video of every man's character. And this photograph, he compares with his law. And what does he do? He reveals to man the defects that mar his life and calls upon him to repent and turn from sin. So what is he doing? He is opening our sins to us in the judgment. Some men's sins are open beforehand going into judgment. There it is. Our sins are open to us. And as we were talking about it this morning in Sabbath school, is that a pleasant experience? Is that a pleasant experience? Our sins are open to us. And he shows us what they are. Let's read a quote from the Lift Him Up, page 273, in paragraph 2. And there we read what we go through as our sins are opened up to us in the judgment. It says, we study the life of Christ, and the more clearly we discern the spotless purity of the Savior's character, and the less confidence we have in our own goodness. Our self-righteousness, I've missed the point. Yes, it says, this is the experience. His self-righteousness disappears, and he falls as a helpless and broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus. That's what happens when your sins are opened up to you in the judgment. He reveals to you, and what happens? All self-righteousness disappears. I can't stand with my own righteousness before the Lord. And what is the next event? As this shows up in my experience, I have less confidence. I have no confidence in myself. And all helpless and broken, I fall upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We will be sorely pressed by the tempter, and at times may have feelings of discouragement. Admit that. At times, feelings of discouragement, as the Lord shows us our sins, feelings of discouragement. And to be tempted to think, God will not accept me. Taking God at his word and pleading his sure promises, he presses through the darkness into the clear sunlight of Christ's love. So this is the experience when our sins are opened up before us in the judgment. But what was the other one? With some, they follow after. What is that? We come to Jude chapter 14, or Jude 1, verse 14 and 15. Jude has only got one chapter. Jude, verse 14 and 15. What is meant here? That with some they follow after. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Can you see their sins are open to them? When does this take place? When Jesus comes with 10,000 of his saints after the 1,000 years. Because there, the wicked are going to be resurrected while God's people are coming down with Jesus, who have already been spent 1,000 years with him in heaven. And these people are resurrected to have to be convinced of all their sins. What Jesus is doing for us in the day of judgment, opening and convincing us of all our sins now, will happen then to the wicked. That's what I'm reading here. And let's read that in Great Controversy, page 666, paragraph 2. Because here you have the books of heaven opened, not in the day of investigative judgment, but in the day of executive judgment. As soon as the books of record are opened and the eye of Jesus looks upon the wicked, they are conscious. They are conscious of every sin which they have ever committed. They see just where their feet have diverged from the path of purity and holiness, just how far pride and rebellion have carried them in the violation of the law of God. The seductive temptations which they encouraged by indulgence in sin, the blessings perverted, the messengers of God despised, the warnings rejected, the waves of mercy beaten back by the stubborn, unrepentant heart, all appear as if written in letters of fire. Is that a pleasant experience? After the 1,000 years, the wicked will also be convinced of their sins like that. And I'll read one more quote from Review and Herald here to really understand what we are here contemplating. It's Review and Herald, December 16, 1890, paragraph 22. The Lord reads every secret of the heart. He knows all things. We read that before, didn't we? You may now close the book of your remembrance in order to escape confessing your sins. We might shut our mind and I don't want to know. I don't want to remember my details. I don't want to. We may do that, she says. But when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened, you cannot close them. The recording angel has testified that which is true. All that you have tried to conceal and forget is registered and will be read to you when it is too late for wrongs to be righted. Then you will be overwhelmed with despair. Oh, it is a terrible thing that so many are trifling with eternal interest, closing the heart against any course of action which shall involve confession. Can you see how these two scriptures are connected? Because when we are broken because our sins have been revealed to us in the investigative judgment, we are broken upon the rock Christ Jesus. And when the sins of the wicked are open to them, they're going to be crushed by that rock. This is the connection of these two scriptures. And once again, we read from 1 Peter chapter 4, just to deepen that appreciation. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Because in this judgment that we are living in now, you can see what this statement is bringing to our attention in harmony with the previous ones. Verse 17 and 18. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. No? Their sins, the sins of the house of God are open to them. And they are overwhelmed and they are tempted to become discouraged. But there's still hope, and I want to delve into that. The point is that it starts with the house of God. And what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let the word of God sink in. To have your sins opened before in judgment, it starts with God's people. And then after the 1,000 years, it's with the people that are not God's people. What hope have they got when we are scarcely saved? You know that experience. While it is uncomfortable to have our sins exposed to our consciousness, but as I just read here, what did I read? Them that obey not the gospel of God. If we are under the gospel of God, it is better that we have our sins revealed to us. Because if we don't obey the gospel of God, you don't want your sins revealed to you, but they will be revealed. So, what is there in the gospel? If you obey the gospel, what is there in the gospel that helps you to get through the experience of having your sins exposed to you? It's there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of dealing with our sins where? Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We have been astray, and the Lord brings to us in the time of the judgment, in the time of the cleansing of the most holy place and the heavenly sanctuary. As he is doing this work, he is revealing to us the detail of our sins so that, as we read it there, we may confess them. Because as he reveals my details of my sins, I have in the gospel a precious statement. What is that? Those sins, our sins, are in his body. In his body. That's what we read, didn't we? In his body, our sins were. And as we have to deal with our sins being exposed to us, we are going through experiences that all the memory of our past sins that we, and we're seeing, I've got character defects there that are horrifying because I can't get to heaven with those terrible details. I am in temptation to become discouraged. But here is a promise. God is revealing to us our sins, making them exposed to our consciousness so that we know what Jesus went through with our sins in his body. There was the remedy in the gospel. He provided a remedy when my sins are exposed to me. Because Jesus had our sins in his body because our sins are in our body too. We read it here in Romans chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. A very interesting statement here. Where are our sins that condemn us? Where does God stir them up inside of us like he stirred them up in the body of Jesus when he laid upon him the iniquity of us all? God brought them all to his consciousness, just like he brings all to our consciousness about our sins. Romans chapter 7, 17 and 18, the apostle Paul is lamenting here. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells where? In me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So, where are our sins? No good thing in me, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Sin dwells in me. And Jesus took that body. Remember that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? Very important. The language is very important to take seriously, that we don't come up with any wrong conclusions. What was the body that Jesus received? Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, can you see this double enunciation? He also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He also likewise himself had the same flesh that Apostle Paul was saying, there's no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. Jesus took part of the same, so that our sins were in his body. That's what we read. And let's read it very clearly how that is possible in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 926, paragraph 5, where we read, divine culture, brings perfection. If in connection with God, the work is carried forward, the human agent, through Christ, will day by day gain victory and honor in the battle. Through the grace given, he will overcome, and he will be placed on vantage ground in his relation to Christ. He will be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one with Christ in a peculiar relationship. Why? Because Christ took the humanity of man. He became subject to temptation, endangering, as it were, his divine attributes. So our sins were where? In his body. So much so that, because he partook exactly of the same flesh and blood that we have, it was a flesh riddled with heredity. Heredity in sin was in his flesh. And it is through that that Jesus was broken. What did he do in that body? Remember there? He bore our sins in his own body to the cross. And there at the cross, people think he was suffering the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands and feet. Oh, that was only a very small suffering. The real suffering was our sins in his body. And when we have all our sins revealed to us, we can understand what Jesus had. Because all our sins, my sins, your sins, everybody else's sins, were all there in his body, brought to his understanding and choking him, his life, causing his heart to break. Our hope depends upon the choice. Remember how I started? We have a choice. Will I permit my sins to be opened now? Or will I shut my mind to those sins? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. How many people have said that to me? I don't want to know. Don't go there. Well, you're better. If you choose not to, you'll go there after the 1,000 years. But if we will let that happen, then our hope is secure, because by that choice, we come to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 11. Because those who choose to adopt the story of Jesus with our sins in his body taken to the cross. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What did I read? The body of sin. What was Christ's body? It was loaded with everybody's sin. And the body of sin that I am, and the body of sin that Jesus became for us, is the avenue by which, when our sins are exposed to us, we may die with him. This is what it means to fall on the rock and be broken. Was Jesus not broken? This is my body which is broken for you, said Jesus. And if you do not permit your sins to be exposed to you so that you can fall on the rock and be broken, what did we read? It will fall on you and crush you to powder. And the meaning of falling upon the rock and be broken, let me read it here in Manuscript Releases, Volume 11. 11 MR, page 285, paragraph 1. There are many who claim to believe in Christ, who have not yet fallen upon the rock and been broken. There are many. Self lives and is exalted. To such, Christ does not appear what he is or what he will be to all those who believe on him. Can you see something here in this statement? So many Christians believe in Christ, but they have not fallen on the rock and been broken. Therefore, Jesus does not appear what he is to them. And I want to spend this concluding time together with you to see what Jesus is to you if you and I open our hearts to let him expose me to myself. Together with Jesus, we are to be broken. Together with Jesus, we are to be broken. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Here's the Apostle Paul's testimony of that. The body of Jesus was broken, so must mine. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The Apostle Paul knows what Jesus means. And people who claim to believe in Jesus but do not actually know the experience of having their sins opened before them and falling upon that rock, they don't know what Jesus is to them in reality. That's what we read there before. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and pick it up in more expansion again. Hebrews 2 verses 10 and 11. Speaking of Jesus now, Hebrews 2, 10 and 11. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Could he be ashamed? These sinners. He is so holy. But no, he wanted to sanctify us. He wanted to let our sins be open to us so that through him they can be cleansed out of my life. And so as we read there, he wants to sanctify me. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. We are one together. What is Jesus to you? Do you just believe in him or do you really engage in him? This is what we had studied, the real nuts and bolts in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. Let me read it. A wonderful statement here that he became at one with us. He calls us brethren. He's a same member of our earthly family. Interesting. He suffered exactly like we do and more because he gathered everybody's sins in his body. Let's read here from Bible Commentary, Volume 5. What a precious reality is if we will make the choice to let God open up every detail of my sinfulness and then make an experience of falling on the rock Christ Jesus together with him. He's that rock. Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1139. What a precious statement here. Oh, let it sink in. All ye are brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, right? All ye are brethren. As brethren, we are identified with Christ and with one another. As brethren, we are identical with Christ and through His grace, identical with one another. Try to understand what this statement means. You know, when I see a brother or a sister struggling with a particular sin, I remember mine. I can identify with you. We are identical with Christ and with one another, if we permit Him to open our sins to us. Our path is identical with Jesus. I read it here in Hebrews 5. Here is the identical reality. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9. Because He was in the days of His flesh, that He had a body with sinful flesh. Here it is. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. That was the case of his fear, that he was separated from God, his Father, because our sins were exposed to him. And so, as I read here, this beautiful, beautiful statement, identical with Jesus, yes, in the days of his flesh, he was crying to him that could save him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are we comprehending what God is telling us here? Let your sins be exposed to you as they were exposed to Jesus, and be identical with him, doing what he did. He was the author of this. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Will you and I? Oh, it's a suffering to have my sins exposed to me. It's a suffering to be continually. And the sermon I'm also in mind of sharing with you, it's never good enough. No matter how hard you try, it's never good enough. You're going to discover more and more and more and more failures and mistakes in your life. And you're trying so hard to be good, and it's never good enough. Broken. Broken. Jesus cried unto him who could save him from death. That's what Jesus is to us when our sins are exposed to us. And people who do not know this, they don't know what Jesus is to them. That's what I read. So identical with Jesus. The Apostle Paul understood this when he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Remember what we also read? Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. And I want to just let the spirit of prophecy expand on that. Sons and Daughters of God, page 246, paragraph 2 says, Christ was crucified for fallen man. But to many who call themselves Christian, this event is nothing. Why? In practice, they deny the cross of Christ. They admit that Christ died on the cross, but because there is a crucifixion for them to experience, they will not receive the lessons that lead to self-denial and self-sacrifice. Lessons to lead us to that. We deny it. I don't want these things exposed, but they need to be exposed. And Jesus makes sure that they're going to be exposed if you want to be saved. If you don't want to be caught being crushed by him afterwards. I go on reading. They are Christians. I'll just read it. They admit that Christ died, but because there is a crucifixion for them to experience, they will not receive the lesson that lead to self-denial and self-sacrifice. They are Christians in name only. The central point of their faith is not a crucified and risen Savior who brings to all that receive him the privilege of being sons and daughters of God. He who sanctifies us is one with us. He's our brother. We are going through the brokenness of our sins to be restored together with him. The crucifixion of Christ, he expressed. What is this crucifixion of Christ? He expressed it in Psalm 69. You know, Psalm 69 goes into the living reality of his experience. Let's read it there. What is the crucifixion of Christ in experience? What is it? Psalm 69. Here it is. Verse 20. The whole Psalm 69 is the testimony of Jesus as he is hanging there on the cross. Psalm 69, reading there from verse 20. Reproach. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Now tell me. When your sins are open to you, do you feel reproach? Jesus felt that reproach. Are you prepared to let him give you that experience? Our sins will be opened up to us. We will experience what Jesus experienced when he was our sin bearer. Our sins were in his body and they came up to his neck. Read Lamentations 1. They came up to my neck. They strangled me. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? He cries out. Reproach has broken my heart. Broken heart. What's that? Why was Jesus uplifted by the Father? Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 3. If you are falling on the rock and are broken, if together with Jesus you are broken because you acknowledge and you open your heart to all the revelations of your sins, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. By his stripes you are healed. By his stripes. He was suffering your sins, and he was suffering the stripes, and as you absorb that, you are healed. Because as Jesus was brokenhearted, the Father raised him, because Jesus repented those sins. Reproach had broken his heart, and God healeth the broken in heart. He healeth them. If we will permit God to expose my sins to me, they will break me. And if I'm broken, wonderful. Because what do we read in our scripture reading, Psalm 51? What are the sacrifices of God that are acceptable to him? A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let him open the sins. Let him fill you with reproach. Jesus felt it, and he's right there with you, showing you the way. And guess what? Come to Isaiah 57, verse 15. If you feel the reproach, if you feel crushed because, and your heart is broken, and you are contrite, and you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, what then? Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Are you getting it? When you feel all crushed, all reproached, because your sins are being exposed to you, look at Jesus. They were all exposed to him, every one of them. And Jesus died of a broken heart. But God raised him again. And where did he place him? And you, together with Christ, where does he place us? Where does he place us? I live in a high and holy place with him also that is of a humble and contrite heart. Let's read it there in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you. You know that scripture well. If you have this mind together with Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, reading verses 5 to 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and that wasn't good enough. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, what did he continue to do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Was that an act of obedience? And what are we told to be obedient to the gospel? What is that? That when your sins are revealed to you, you won't say, no, 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 I don't want to know. You will be obedient. You will do what Jesus did. Expose yourself. Let him have your whole heart and show you all your terrible sins. And together with Jesus, you will be elevated. Follow it closely. Because when Jesus was like that, what does it say next? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Where does God dwell with whom? Those who are broken, contrite spirit. Jesus was that. And if you are with him, if you are one with him and you let your sins be exposed to you as they were exposed to him, you will be repenting as he repented, and you will be lifted up together with him beside the very God of the universe. Isn't that what Revelation 3 verse 20 and 21 is saying? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will sup with him and he with me. That's falling on the rock. That's being broken. Drinking that bitter cup. And then what does he say? He that overcometh, even as I overcame, will sit with me where? With him that sits with those that are of a humble, contrite heart. So what is the summary of what we've studied here? We are given the choice to have our sins open to us now and have them cleansed, or to have them open to us after we have died in that resurrection of the wicked. Which one do you want to have? To have your sins exposed now and be together with Jesus in that expose? Or do you want it when you haven't got Jesus by you anymore? Can you see this amazing truth? To have Jesus now, as my sins are exposed, to be cleansed by his precious blood, identical with Jesus, to be broken and to be put back together. By his stripes you are healed. Let me read this beautiful summation in the Spirit of Prophecy in Gospel Workers, page 372. This is Gospel Workers, the 92nd edition, 1892 edition. It says there in paragraph 3 of 372, the very trials that test our faith most severely make it seem that God has forsaken us. Isn't that what Christ cried out? They are designed to lead us nearer to Christ. Can you see what we've studied? That experience of having our sins exposed to us is meant to lead us nearer to Christ. This terrible experience. I don't want that, but I've got to have it if I'm going to be saved. Therefore, it will draw me nearer to Christ. That we may lay all our burdens at his feet and receive the peace he will give us in exchange. When you surrender yourself entirely to God, when you fall all broken upon Jesus, you will be rewarded by a victory, the joy of which you have never yet realized. As you review the past with a clear vision, you will see that the very time when life seemed to you only a perplexity and a burden. Are you really drinking that in? Have you been to that? Your life seemed to you only perplexity and a burden. Jesus himself was near you, seeking to lead you into the light. Your Father was by your side. Wasn't the Father by the side of Jesus at the cross? But Jesus didn't know it, didn't feel it. His faith had to get him through that one. Your Father was by your side, bending over you with unutterable love, afflicting you for your good, as the refiner purifies the precious ore. When you have thought yourself forsaken, he has been near you to comfort and sustain. We seldom view Jesus as he is, and are never so ready to receive his help as he is to help us. These statements are loaded with experience. And I'm praying that the Lord will do for every one of us what I'm sharing with you here. Because I know this experience very well. And I know that unless you have this experience, you cannot experience what I've just read here. You don't want the experience, the unpleasant experience of having your sins so clearly exposed to you when you've got no hope anymore. But that will come for those who refuse. Because there, when they have their sins open to them, let's conclude with two scriptures here. First, from Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Let's just come across to verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne. This is the judgment that they were resurrected for. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's when it's too late. Let him open your book now. And Jesus makes an appeal. Let's come to Luke chapter 9. This is the appeal of Jesus, who said, "Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by, what God has done to me for you?" Luke chapter 9. Here is his appeal. Verse 23 to 25. And he said unto them, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." What kept Jesus going? The joy that he will see you in heaven with him. So, if you don't lose your life for his sake, you will lose it. But Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You want to please Jesus? You want to fill his heart with joy over you? Then let him open. Let him open all the details so that you can be restored by his blood, by his sacrifice. This is my prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus for us. Amen.